Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Friday, August 22nd. A new report says the mental health of children is being impacted by immigration enforcement. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. Caden Property Group, the owner of the decaying, nearly 100-year-old California Theater in downtown, has a choice to make. Either sell or demolish the building. On Wednesday, the San Diego City Attorney's Office announced that a settlement had been made with the owner. Under the agreement, the C Street building must be listed for sale by the end of the month and sold by the end of the year. If that doesn't happen, then they will have 90 days to obtain permits to demolish the building or face up to $1 million in civil penalties. The heat advisory for San Diego inland valleys yesterday and today has increased the risk of fire. It has also caused Governor Gavin Newsom to dedicate more firefighting resources. An additional 47 fire engines, 9 bulldozers, and 5 helicopters are available to San Diego and 4 other Southern California counties. San Diego Cal Fire Captain Robert Johnson says planning to use extra resources strategically before a fire breaks out is a good idea.
This just allows us to get more resources on scene faster, and it eliminates some of that lag time in the event there is a fire start.
Johnson says almost all fires are caused by human activity, so keep that in mind in the coming days when you're using any tool or doing anything that can cause a spark. Life has been up and down lately for our Friar faithful. They initially moved into first place in the NL West for the first time in 15 years by sweeping the SF Giants, only to then get swept by the LA Dodgers, placing them right back in second. Well, just yesterday they wrapped another series, beating the Giants 3-1. The Padres are now 1 game behind first place as here we go again, entering into a 3-game series against the Dodgers, this time on our turf. That will surely see a motivated Petco Park crowd. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a teen-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new report from UC Riverside warns that aggressive immigration enforcement is taking a serious toll on children's mental health. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says experts are calling it a public health crisis.
Outside Parkdale Lane Elementary in Encinitas on Wednesday morning, a child cries in their mother's arms as federal agents arrest their father. A new UC Riverside report says moments like these can have lasting consequences for children in immigrant and mixed status families.
Anxiety, stress, depression, even senses of hopelessness.
Dr. Lisa Fortuna is a child psychiatrist who co-authored the report. They found infants regressing and not sleeping or eating well, grade schoolers struggling to focus in class, and teens thinking about,
you know, what would they do if they were separated from their parents? Are they going to have to take a parental role?
At San Diego Unified's Newcomer Welcome Center, school counselor Juan Carlos Nieblas sees it firsthand.
I do feel there is an increase in stress and anxiety. I feel a lot of it has to do with social media.
Both Fortuna and Nieblas agree children can't be shielded from fear, but with teachers, families, and communities working together, they can be supported through it. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
Today marks exactly 1 month since Paloma Aguirre became the District 1 County Supervisor. I spoke with Supervisor Aguirre yesterday. Here's that conversation. This week, yourself, along with Mayor Todd Gloria, obviously unveiled signs, warning signs, along the Tijuana River Valley. When you first got inducted, you spoke about that being a key goal and focus. Can you talk to me about why that was so important?
Yeah, so that was when I think a couple of days after we started, my commitment was to do three things in the first 30 days. And one of those things was to put up signs in the river valley that would advise people of the potential presence of a toxic gas, which is hydrogen sulfide, that can, with high levels, it could be very detrimental to human health. So Wednesday, we unveiled a sign that's located at the hotspot in the Tijuana River Valley at Saturn Boulevard, which is within city of San Diego, to advise people of the presence or potential presence of hydrogen sulfide, which is a toxic gas that is emitted by wastewater. We know now that there is scientific and empirical evidence that, especially overnight, there can be very high levels of hydrogen sulfide depending on the amount of flow coming through. So we want to make sure that we protect people who work in the valley and people who recreate in the valley from potential exposure.
Absolutely. Now, these signs serve as a physical warning, but are there any next steps that you are suggesting for people maybe who work along Saturn Boulevard, frequent Saturn Boulevard, mask, any other secondary precautions after the signs, the warning signs that they can do?
Yeah, obviously wearing PPE is important because these signs advise on hydrogen sulfide, but there may be presence of pathogens as well, bacteria, viruses, parasites. The real solution here is removing the source, and the source of the pollution is the river itself. And I get the question frequently, well, there's been all this progress. Why hasn't this been solved? And yes, there's been progress. Mexico and the U.S. have come to an agreement to expedite solutions and invest money. And there's fixes to the Mexican plan, fixes to the U.S. plan, but neither of the two capture the main source, which is the river itself. So that's part of my plan, my 5-point sewage plan that I've been talking about even before I got elected. We need to remove the hotspot there because it's an infrastructure fix that needs to happen there. But in the meantime, we need to make sure we protect people's health. And that's by advising them to take precautions with PPE, by advising them with signs. And we're going to increase monitoring of hospitals and urgent cares and clinics so that we can compile that data and understand how to make a better medical intervention.
Absolutely. Anything to keep San Diego residents healthier, of course, would be the mutual
Absolutely.
Goal.
Absolutely.
You spoke about a 3-point goal. The first one, of course, being these warning signs or your three goals within your first 30 days. What were the other two goals?
Was to increase monitoring of the health, surveillance that I was mentioning. We're bringing in an expert. We're talking to hospitals. We're talking to urgent cares and health clinics. So that's another one. Also, increasing air filters at schools and daycares. That's been already approved by the Air Pollution Control District, which I am a board member of. We're also expediting the rollout of air filters for families that are affected in the affected areas. So that's part of the fast track 30-day plan that we gave ourselves as a goal and that we've already achieved.
This is Lawrence K. Jackson from San Diego News Now with Supervisor Paloma Aguirre. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Over the last half century, parts of the Tijuana River Valley have been restored from a dump site to an environmentally protected area. Reporter Jacob Ayer says a new play telling that story and the region's history from an indigenous perspective premieres this Saturday in San Diego.
The caw of birds and whir of helicopters at the mouth of the Tijuana River set the real-life scene for an upcoming Kumeyaay play called Shuluk Wechui, Where Lightning Was Born. Johnny Bear Contreras is an artist and cultural advisor for the play. He says it tells the Kumeyaay creation story, and the Tijuana River Valley is central to it all.
The waterways play a significant role in all our storytelling, but especially in creation, because creator is Ha, Maya Ha, water is Ha, right? So when you call the creator, you say Maya Ha Umbao, to be here.
In addition to the performances, there will be panel discussions about the Tijuana River Valley's ongoing struggles with pollution and sewage. The play runs this Saturday, August 23rd at 1 and 5 p.m. at San Diego Sparks Studio in Kearny Mesa. The event is free and space is limited, so reservations are required. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
Local contemporary ballet company The Rosin Box Project will premiere three new works this weekend at the California Center for the Arts Escondido. Arts reporter Julia Dixon Evans says the company brings innovation to life on stage.
With the midday heat pressing against the studio windows, nine dancers powered through a grueling workout with astonishing grace. The Rosin Box Project invited two guest choreographers to create works for its debuts program. Choreographer Ching Ching Wong created a dance about a futuristic supermarket love story.
Imagine if you could control every memory that's ever occurred in your life. You could almost call them to action at your will.
Wong's piece is about time, loss, and memory. It's wild and speculative, but also personal.
It's just me grappling with my own fear, my own anxieties.
Founding director Carly Topazio also premieres new choreography. Most companies present only one new dance in a program, or a few each year. The Rosin Box is staging three in one night.
There's something electric about creating new work rather than restaging something on our bodies that were created on different bodies. You know, there's definitely like an identity there too.
Julia Dixon Evans, KPBS News.
Film Out, San Diego's LGBTQ plus film festival, turns 25 this year. Arts reporter Beth Accomando previews this year's festival and looks back at how it all started.
Film Out has its roots at San Diego State University with a student named Joe Farelli.
Well, this all started when I was at San Diego State doing my master's, and I decided to do this festival as a thesis project. San Diego didn't have a gay film festival at that time.
Farelli's thesis focused on identifying a queer sensibility in film.
So I looked at the works of directors that I knew were gay, but that didn't make outwardly gay films. People like Terrence Davies. And that kind of got me thinking that there was this underlying queer sensibility, especially in the time when you had the Hays Code, where you couldn't talk about homosexuality and you couldn't mention it. So filmmakers would have to work to get their ideas across to like-minded people.
The festival debuted in 1999 at the Ken Cinema, then moved to the Museum of Photographic Arts. Farelli left San Diego, and after a short hiatus, Michael McQuiggan became the festival's program director.
I can't believe the last 21 years since I've been involved, and here we are at this milestone event.
This year, the festival lineup includes exit interviews about a man making a documentary about all his exes and why they left him.
I think this is going to be harder than I thought.
Are you going to interview Christopher or not?
It's a world premiere and they're all coming, so we're excited. And then Plain Clothes is the Russell Tovey film, that kind of the hot ticket on the festival circuit still.
Release me!
What did I do?
Against the wall! Against the wall!
Why? Under arrest.
I was really surprised that I was able to get the film twinless.
I have a twin brother and he passed away.
It was a big hit at Sundance, so I'm glad that we're ending their festival run as a closing night movie.
In addition to features, Film Out showcases short films like Aaron Levitt's Demon Boy.
It's a supernatural thriller, but I made it thinking about the experience of desiring intimacy and connection in the digital age and how difficult that is, especially as a queer person living in Los Angeles.
Jonathan Hammond describes his short Fireflies in the Dusk as a time travel Victorian romance parody slasher film. Hammond has roots in San Diego and has attended the festival for two decades. Fireflies in the Dusk is his fourth film screened there.
Film Out means a huge, tremendous amount to me, and Michael McQuiggan has been so supportive of me as well as San Diego filmmakers.
Aaron Immediato says he always wanted to make a sci-fi alien invasion film.
We've been watching you.
With a queer twist.
Late at night, she would look at the flower and sing quietly. Do you sing?
The Last Story on Earth is very much my sci-fi love letter to drag queens. These attacks, especially, you know, targeting drag artists, focusing on them not, you know, somehow not being safe for kids has been especially offensive to me as a queer person.
McQuiggan says he tries to steer the festival clear of overt political messaging.
It is challenging. You know, I want people just to come in to get away from that for at least 4 days and just come in and enjoy cinema.
But Hammond notes Saturday's panel on queer joy on the screen can still be seen as political.
Queer joy is absolutely an act of rebellion. To be blunt, the current administration is doing everything they can to subvert and take away the joy. So I think by being joyful and being proud of who you are is counter to everything they stand for.
For 25 years, FilmOut has played a role in both the LGBTQ plus and film communities, making Ferrelli proud.
Seeing what Michael has done with it, it's just been wonderful. It's just been an amazing thing. I could never imagine it would have gone this long or been this successful.
Happy birthday, FilmOut. So grateful for 25 years of incredible films and uplifting voices. Looking forward to the next 25. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
FilmOut continues through Sunday at the Museum of Photographic Arts in Balboa Park. And as a reminder, tomorrow is the KPBS San Diego Book Festival from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at USD. I'll be there hosting a panel featuring two authors and their work. If you see me, feel free to say hello. That is it for the podcast today. This podcast is edited by Brooke Ruth and hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and supporting public media. Have a great weekend.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a teen-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.